Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
See all of you. Doing all right? Yeah. Good to see everybody online. I don't see you online. Good for you to see me online. So I just want to share that Michael and Nan are out of town this weekend. Michael's good friend. He's had a friend for over 40 years, passed away a little over a week ago, and he went out to California for the service there, and he spoke service, and so they will be back here this week. And so just keep that family. The person who passed away, I can't remember his last name, but his first name was Pete, and so just keep them in prayer. Also, I want to just throw something out. If you're a drummer and you can drum, we are looking for a drummer. Warner is an amazing drummer. He does it every single week. Where is Warner? But he's going to be out of town a few weeks in March, and so we're in need of a drummer. And so if you feel like, man, I've been drumming, and if it's beyond your pots and pans in your kitchen, come talk to Christina. We'll do an audition and see if you guys can, if you want to help us out with that. That'd be awesome. So, hey, let's pray and get right into the Word of God. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to just to gather around your Word and just to worship you. And Lord, we just pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture and hear the Word of God, that Word, the truth, will reign in our hearts and in our lives, that this word would just not only just be heard, but Lord, let us respond to what you are challenging us to do and walk in obedience to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, we are in the last week of our series called Entrusted. It's a series on stewardship. And I really have enjoyed teaching this series. I hope that you've I've learned a lot through this series. We've talked about that God. We have a definition, a biblical definition of stewardship. If right there, the definition is this: is utilizing and managing all. Everybody say all. All resources God provides us for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. And so we want to do that. This is more than just our finances. When we think of stewardship, we think of money. But it's our time, it's our talents. Pastor Michael talked about last week, what's in our portfolio, what are we investing in, earthly things or the kingdom things. And so today I want to conclude our series, and then next week we're going to start this really long series. It's going to take us all the way through July. It's going to be amazing. It's through the book of Ephesians. And so start reading Ephesians. And God's Word, we're going to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. It's going to be awesome. But today I want to conclude our series through this entrusted thing to something that we all have, every one of us have, that God has given us. And we are entrusted with this for the glory of God. And that is our bodies. Everybody here has a body, right? Every one of us has a body. Every one of us are here. Some of us have some more tour bodies than others. Some of us have a little bit less tour bodies than others. Some of us have a little bit more aches and pains in our bodies. Some of us have a little bit more scars than others in our bodies. Some bruises and hurts and pains in our bodies. But we all have a body. And I believe the Bible talks about what we are to do, how we are to steward our bodies, our lives, for the glory of God. And what I'm going to talk about today is something that is a bit counter to the culture of our world today, the world that we are living in. Because we are living today in a culture where our identity is wrapped up in our bodies, or at least in our sexuality. And in today's culture, we are defined by what we identify as. There are many different gender identities out there. I looked it up. There are a lot. There's male and female, transgender, gender neutral, non-binary, agender, pangender, genderqueer, two-spirited, third gender. could be all of these or none of these. So we are living in a world that our identity is no longer, our sexuality is no longer based upon a binary or anatomy. It is based upon how you identify yourself. This is the world we live in. You may not like it, but it is the world we're living in. And it is the world that our younger generation looks at and say, so what's the big deal? And where maybe our older generation looks at and goes, oh my gosh, what is our world coming to? And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to be very, very clear here. My aim today, and I believe our aim as Christians, should never be railing on or saying such words as, those people believe those things, as if those people are our enemies. Absolutely not. My aim today is to share what does God's word say about our identity, our sexuality, and our bodies. And you'll notice in the scripture that we're going to look at today, which is in 1 Corinthians, yes, it does talk about homosexuality, but it also talks about drunkards, swindlers, idolaters. So before we jump all over those people, let's begin to look at this person and see what God is speaking to me and how am I using my body for the glory of God. So let's look at this. 1 Corinthians, turn in your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have it up on the screen. If you're watching at home, it'll be at the bottom of the screen. 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to look at verses 9 through 20. It's a big passage of Scripture, but let me read it to you. And I'm reading from the ESV version. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And I want to stop right there. So in the next passage, what I want to look at is I want you to count, and I've helped you because I've underlined them, count how many times the word body is used in this passage of Scripture, okay? Verse 13, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both, one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are the member of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Now, if you're counting, I've counted 8 times that the word body is used in this passage of Scripture. And so today we live in a world, as I says, where our body, or at least our sexual identity, the world has a lot to say about it. But God's word has a lot to say about it. And so what voice has the mic? Is it the world or is it God's voice? And so I want to look and see what does God's word say here? Now this isn't Dane speaking. This is what God is saying. I'm giving some thoughts around it, but you have to come to the conclusion of, okay, what does the Spirit of God say to me as I read the Word of God and in my life? And what am I going to trust? All right? So if you're taking notes, I want to speak on a few points here of what I believe God's Word tells us about our bodies. Number one, our bodies are created by God for His glory and your good or our good. What was taking place here in the church in Corinth was there was a lot of sexual immorality that was taking place in the culture. There's nothing new under the sun, right? That's still taking place today in our culture. And then we see that there's a lot of sexual immorality that was accepted and taking place in the church. Nothing new under the sun. The early church, the church in Corinth, would say phrases like what we read in verse 13, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. In other words, food was made for the stomach and therefore the stomach was made for food. And so that phrasing, that idea was this, is that the body was made for sex or sexual activity, therefore sexual activity is made for the body. This is my body. This is how I identify with my body. These are the desires of my body. This is how my body was made. So I'm going to go fulfill those desires that are in my body the way that I want. But what God is saying something different here. He is saying the body is made for the Lord and the Lord for the body. In verses 19 through 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." So our bodies are made for the Lord, to glorify God. And so in this series of stewardship, where we're talking about God has given me all these things, my job is to steward it, to honor God, to glorify God with all that He's given me. Money, my time, my possessions, all these different things that we've talked about, including my body. My body is made for the Lord, and therefore I'm going to glorify my God with my body. And so this is an amazing gift. Our body is an amazing gift. I was talking to Mike Carrez yesterday, and we were kind of talking about the aches and pains that our body has. And he goes, if you wake up and not feeling any pain, you got the first question that comes to your mind is, am I dead? Then all of a sudden you feel pain. Oh, I'm alive. But we have this amazing gift. This body is an amazing gift that God's given us. And one thing that God has given us through this body is the gift of sex. And I want us to grasp this because I grew up in the church and been in church culture for a long, long, long time, my whole life. And the church culture was this thought, we don't talk about sex. And if we did talk about sex, it was always in the negative, never in the positive. It was always in the negative. You should not have sex, was what we heard as teenagers. And if you grew up in the church, you probably heard this as well. You should not have sex. And so in a teenager's mindset, when you talk about don't do something, when you tell a kid, don't touch that, what are they going to do? They're going to touch that. And so we grew up in a church culture is sex is bad, don't have it, don't have it. And then when you're married, you can have it. Well, all of a sudden, once I'm married, sex is suddenly good when it was bad before. You know, these things that come up in the mind. But I think we delivered the message in a wrong way for so many years. God made your body, and guess what? He said that your body is good. He called it good. If God called your body good, don't you think He wants what is good for your body? I would say yes. Yeah? And guess what else God created? Shh, don't tell anybody. He created sex. And He commanded us, it was a command, have sex. And guess what? He blessed it. He blessed sex. I would say praise God for that. He made it. He commanded us to have it, and He blessed it. And He said all of this before sin entered into the world. Look at it in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. I have it up on the screen here. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, code word sex, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God made you, and he made you good. And in the verses that follows, he says, I'm blessing you, and I'm going to bless you, and I command you to have sex. It's what he commands you to do. And guess what? The Bible doesn't say this particularly, but it certainly implies that Adam and Eve had sex in the garden before there was sin. And the reason why I know this was God commanded them to do it, and there were two naked people walking around in a garden. I'm just saying like this. So he created your bodies for the good, and he created your sexuality. It was his idea. And to honor God with our bodies is to say, to do it in the way that he planned, in the way that he designed it. Right? So if God made you the way you are and commanded you to do things with your body, then we have to follow within the lines of how he created that to be. And we see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And it says this, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. He designed sex to be between one man and one woman in the institution of marriage. They were to leave their home and be joined together as one. That's how God designed it. And sex is great and wonderful when it's in the design of how God planned it. And if you read the Song of Solomon, you will see this beautiful picture of what marriage looks like and love looks like. It's all over it. The problem is sin, right? We move from God glorification to self-glorification. It started with Adam and Eve wanting and believing the lie of Satan, and how and we all followed in their steps. And therefore, we go from what God designed as beautiful and perfect and wonderful to kind of messed up ideas, to something that we're not even sure of. And what are we, who we are, and how we are to live, and we pursue the desires of the flesh rather than the desires of God. We pursue the desires of flesh when it comes to sex, desiring sex outside the boundaries or the institution of what God created it. Sex with someone besides your spouse, or sex with the same sex. And along with that, outside the boundaries of sex, we begin to lose who we are as our identity. I'm wondering, who am I? How am I created? I feel lost. I feel unsure of how I am created. And I want you to get this. Please, please, please get this. Because I believe what is happening in the world today is we have been deceived, and we become deceived. And when we become deceived, we become confused. But I want you to receive this. The God who formed you is the God who is for you. God knows the way not just to satisfy your soul. God knows the way to satisfy your body, to satisfy your identity, to satisfy who you are, because God made you. And he wants you to glorify him in your body. And when you do, it's for your good. It's for your good. Trust God with your body and glorify him with it. But there's a problem, isn't there? There's sin that's entered into the world. The problem we see is point number two. Our bodies have been broken by our sinful desires. When Adam and Eve took the fruit, even though there was hundreds of trees to meet their physical needs, they desired something outside of what God had intended for them. And sin entered into the world. And as a result of sin entering into the world, we are faced with brokenness. We are broken people. And part of our brokenness is our sexuality. I mean, look at it. It's all over 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A brokenness in their sexuality. Some have thoughts about a person who is outside their spouse. And they have a desire for that person who is not their spouse. And that will lead down to areas that are not God-honoring. Some have a physical desire for the same sex. That lead us to think and desire things that are not pleasing to God. And it's outside according to His Word. Some of us question about the way God has made us, specifically our sexuality, to the point where sometimes we feel like we don't even fit in or belong in our physical bodies. Some bodies have significant struggles. And not as a result of sin per se of themselves, but as a result of sin in the world. That leads to sexual disabilities, like infidelity, abnormalities, and cancers. Because of sin in the world. It's not nothing that you have done personally. It's just sin in the world. That our bodies are broken. I could go on and on of how sin has damaged something that God has called good. Because we live in a broken world. Look at what Paul warns about the brokenness of this world in verses 9 and 10. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." A couple of ways he says it twice in this passage of scripture that they will not enter the kingdom of God. He says it twice. And let me share with you a few points here of how sin, what sin does to our bodies. What sin does to our bodies. Number one, bodily sin harms. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Just because something is allowed in the world's eyes, or even accepted in the culture of the world, where the world says, it's okay, this is your body, you can do whatever you want, doesn't mean it's helpful. It actually could be, most oftentimes, harmful. We see this with sexually transmitted disease that people get from doing what is allowed in a society. We see this not only with homosexual individuals, but with heterosexual individuals, the disease of HIV or AIDS that has crippled thousands, if not millions, of people as a result of doing what is acceptable. Because bodily sin harms. Bodily sin controls. Paul continues to say, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Bodily sin controls our life and quickly dominates our lives. We see people who have addictions to pornography, how quickly that can dominate their life and can control their life. How it can lead to a person in hiding, person in shame, person full of guilt, and it ends up destroying relationships. You see this with Esau, who sold his birthright over soup. How sin can control our lives, where we give in to sin and not trusting God with our sin, with our lives. There's consequences. Next one, bodily sin devastates. Verse 13, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside his body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. So I want you to grasp this, what sexual sin does to us and to those it devastates. It breaks marriages. It shatters homes and kids. It causes hurts and pains. It leads to other sins. When you're involved in sexual immorality, it leads to other sins like lying, stealing, cheating, bitterness, hatred, slander, gossip, unforgiveness, and even murder. We even see this with David, King David, a man after God's own heart. Sexual sin led him to adultery, which led him to murder. When you sin sexually, you're bringing devastation upon yourself as well as others. I've seen it. I've seen it. And you all have seen it. Every one of you has seen it. I don't have to convince you. But I sit in my office with people and counsel people who are just devastated because of sexual sin. Their lives are turned upside down because of sexual sin. Bodily sin condemns. Verse 9 and 10, do you not know that the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God? And he goes on to it. In verse 10, he says, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards. And he says again, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Bodily sin is listed in several different ways in this passage, but it leads to one end, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how are we to use our bodies? Not only affects us here, but also affects our lives for eternity. I think about this here. I grabbed this little pot, clay pot. And Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay, and he's formed us and he's made us and he's created us and he's created us beautiful. And because of sin in the world and sin in our bodies, especially sexual sin, what it does, it begins to break us down and begins to harm us and begins to hurt us. And we feel, I'm going to see if this breaks, but sorry, Arvin. Please, I didn't think it would shatter out there. After service, I need you to sign this thing that you will not sue the church. So. But we feel like that. I hate sin. I hate it. Because it makes us broken. And sexual sin breaks us. And we're shattered because of it. And I know many of you feel like that right now. Whatever it is in your life, whatever sin thing that you're struggling with in your life, and you feel like there's no hope. You feel like, I'm just shattered on this ground. There's no hope for me. I want to tell you, the Bible does not stop there with, we'll not inherit the kingdom of God. There is good news. There is good news. Number three, our bodies have been made new through Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This is amazing news. Amen. One, you were washed. Number one, you were washed. Jesus takes what is dirty and makes us clean. And you're so thankful when you're clean. I don't know if you've ever been like dirty and mud and grime and everything to take a shower. You're like, oh, feels so good to take a shower. But I know sexual sin makes us feel dirty inside. But God washes us. Amen. And makes us whole. Number two, you were sanctified. Sanctified simply means this. It means made whole, made whole, made perfect, made holy. I love that Jesus has made me whole and is making me whole. He has made me whole, but yet he is making me whole. You say, well, how does that work? I don't know. I am standing before God because I've been saved, justified, but he's also making me whole. He's working my life. He's sanctifying me through Jesus Christ. And that's number three. You were justified. Justified simply means declared not guilty before God. You may feel all broken inside because of all the sins in your life and stuff and choices we've all made. The Bible says everyone has sinned. No one is righteous. We all have failed. Doesn't matter if it's sexual sin or not, we've all have failed. But because of what Jesus Christ has done, I stand justified, not guilty. Justification is beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm justified before God. It's this great exchange. It's this exchange that happened on the cross where Jesus died on the cross. He took my sins and he gave me his righteousness. I talked about this with my kids yesterday. It's the worst gift exchange present ever. But it's the best ever. He took my sin and he gave me his righteousness. I am justified. Number four, I think. Your body is the Holy Spirit's temple. Amen. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Verse 19. I love that because Jesus lives within me. I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives within me. I don't need to go to some temple to find God. I could just be right where I'm at. Because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within me. So therefore, at any time in my life, I could cry out to God. I love this church. I mean, this is a great building. In fact, you know how you have like Facebook remember things that come up? And 8 years ago today, we broke ground for this church. 8 years ago today. That's awesome. But the Holy Spirit lives within each and every one of us. We are the church, not this building. This building is just sheetrock and whatever. Wood, carpet. But we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Number five, you were bought with a price. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Look at the love of God he gave you. He did all of this for you. He washed you. He sanctified you. Justified you. Lives within you. And he purchased you. And he purchased you with his blood. His death. You see, sin requires a punishment. Especially our sexual sins. It deserves a punishment. But when we choose to follow Jesus, put our trust and hope in him, even in the shattered, beat up, broken bodies that each one of us has, he receives us. He's paid the price. He takes our punishment upon himself. He did this at the cross. He took our sins and we are washed clean. His blood sanctifies us. His blood justifies us. His blood allows us for the Holy Spirit to live within us. He purchased us. We are his. We belong to him. Not by anything that you have done, because I look at all of our righteousness, and the Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. They're nothing. It's only through what Jesus Christ has done. His blood made us right with God. We stand in right standing with God. Let me show you another picture. I shattered a clay pot here, but I want to show you this Japanese art. It's called Kintsugi. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it means golden journey. And the artist here, what he does is he takes broken pieces of pottery and he puts it back together and he molds it together with gold. Those are all gold. It's all gold in there, broken pottery into gold. And sometimes we're like that. We have these broken pieces in our lives. And I love this art because what it shows is he's not trying to hide the brokenness. He's not trying to paint over it. He's actually displaying it. It's broken. It was busted. But it was molded back together and molded together in gold. And it's actually probably a lot more beautiful than it originally was with the gold lining. And I think of our lives, how we are like this pot, just shattered because of sin in our lives. And sometimes we feel like, man, there's no hope for me. But we have a God who is the master artist. He's the creator of the heavens and earth. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him. And he puts us back together again in a way that takes our brokenness and makes us beautiful. And we're not put back together with gold. We're put to get back together with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ just flows all through us. His power to make your body glorious. Yes, we all have sinned. We all have broken bodies, but through Christ, we have been made whole. Now, I want to get this very clear, okay? When you come to Christ, doesn't mean the sexual desires that were outside of what God had intended will magically go away. We still struggle. That's the sanctification part. We still struggle with things. If you're addicted to pornography, God can clear you of that pornography in an instant. There's no doubt in my mind he could do it. But a lot of times we still struggle with it. But he has set forth some instructions, and I don't have time to go through all of it, but he says, flee. Flee from sexual immorality. Run away from it. And for some of us, that means we have to flee some of our friends. Flee from some of our devices that we have. Flee from a lot of different things that tempt us and draw us into that world. He has also given us this word. He says, draw close to God and I will draw close to you. And it's like any habit in our lives. The more we do, the more we want. Both good and bad habits. And if you have this spiritual desire, this desire within your heart, I need God. And as you draw closer to God, I'm telling you, the closer you get to God, the less sin has control in your life. Less those desires tickle because your desires switch for the desires of God. And it's a process. It's a process that God brings us through. And he's working in our lives each and every day. But I want you to go back to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. Stewarding our lives for the glory of God. Every single one of you has a body. Are you stewarding it for the glory of God? Right now, I want to pray with you that you trust God. For those here in the room, those who are watching online, that you trust God to do a great work in your life. First, coming to him as your Savior. And next, trusting in him to begin to work out and move those desires of the flesh for the desires of the Spirit. Allow him to move and work in your life. Would you pray with me, Father? I receive your truth today in my life, including my body. I feel broken by my past and also by my present mistakes. Oftentimes, Lord, I feel hopeless. Feel helpless. I need a change. I desire a change. And I need you. I need you to make me new. So today, I put my faith in you, O Lord, as my King, as my Savior. Restore me and make me a new person. Make me like you. Take away these desires of the flesh and replace them with the desires of the Spirit to long for you, to know you. Oh God, I want to know your love more than I've ever known it before. Holy Spirit, come in, live within me. Even though this body's been broken, you have restored it. So your Spirit will live in it. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand with me? I want you to know that God is for you. He loves you. He cares about you. We as a church love you and care about you and support you. And today, if you need prayer, if you want more information about what it means to follow Jesus Christ or prayer for anything, our prayer partners will be back at the prayer wall. It's my parents, Ray and Bev Weed. They'll be right back there. They have some Bibles, have resources to give to you. We also want to encourage you to text the word, I believe it's journey. If you could bring, do we have that up there? No, probably not. Text the word journey. Well, there's a card back there. I don't know what the text number is. And we will contact you and get you some resources to help you in your journey with Christ. Because it is a journey. It's a wonderful journey. It's an amazing journey. And so we're going to sing the song, Grace Come Over Me. That flows over me. Thanks. That one too. Grace flows down. It's about grace. And we need it, right? We need grace in our lives. And so let's close with this song. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you so much for grace. Yeah, we need it every day. We thank you that your grace covers us, this free gift, your love, your grace. And we thank you that therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified, we are made new through you. No matter what we have faced in this life, no matter what we've done in this life, we are made new because of you. Thank you for that. May we go from this place glorifying you in everything, stewarding everything you've given us, including our bodies, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day, everyone.